This is the Friday, August 9, 2024 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. Short covering ahead of next Monday's WASDE report and good weather made for mixed results in the commodity markets. For the week, the nearby wheat contract gained 4 cents and the September corn contract lost a dime. Reduced Chinese demand and optimal weather for this year's crop pushed the soy complex lower. The September soybean contract declined 30 cents, while September meal dropped $22 per ton. December cotton improved 9 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, September Class 3 milk futures fell 35 cents. The livestock market was in the red again this week. October cattle shed 93 cents. September feeders cut 6.55, and the October lean hog contract decreased to 60. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index lost 3 ticks. September crude oil improved $3.19 per barrel. COMEX gold fell $1.80 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index added more than 5 points to settle at 540.50. Joining us now, one of our regular market analysts, Sean Hackett. Hi, Sean.
Hey, Paul. Always, always my favorite place to be. You know that.
Especially in nice weather like this.
Yeah.
We ordered it just for you.
I appreciate it.
The weather story is much bigger in corn and beans. However, wheat has had a weather story in some parts. But it's Egypt that was the headliner this week for many early on. Can foreign demand help U.S. wheat producers and this market?
I believe that it can. I mean, when we look at the short crop Russia, Ukraine has had, France has had, I mean, a big, big hole in wheat supplies is out there. We have a large crop. We have supplies to sell, but I do believe that the way you're going to put a bottom in the grain markets, especially the wheat market, is to get that demand side factoring in, and I do believe it's already begun.
Again, supply and demand could be the story and will be a main topic for us this week. But specifically with wheat, let's look at that deferred contract. Again, able to hold a positive rally at the for the week. Good sign.
It's a very good sign. If you look at the trading pattern of wheat, it's actually showing a very credible bottoming pattern for an extended period of time. It looks to me like the first market that's going to be ready to kind of turn up and confirm a low. Remember, we put the winter wheat crop away. We're about to put the spring wheat crop away. That's usually when you have maximum selling pressure that alleviates, and then we can lock up the rest and have the buyers come get it.
So better days ahead.
I really, really like wheat here. I think that it's a fundamentally solid market, and I think it's going to be a better market later on in the year.
I've heard this question over and over for weeks, and I haven't sat here in a while, so I have to ask Matt in Iowa's question to you, Sean. Are we in the basement, or are we still in a free fall lower when it comes to corn and beans?
We know that typically harvest lows typically occur in corn in the back half of September. For soybeans, the first half of October, not every year, not every time. We're in the window where we would expect the floor to be seen. My view is, if you look at, and there's a lot of people that are suggesting, for example, that the corn is going back to 3.25, because that was the low that we had back in the, 2012 to 2020 when we had a lot of corn. My problem with that thinking is this. We printed so much money and spent so much money inflating the monetary system post-COVID. I don't believe that we're going to be able to get ourselves back down to that level. I think we're going to make a higher floor. We can argue it's 375, 390. But remember, 175 used to be the floor before the great financial crisis, and then it became 3. I just don't think apples to apples analysis here is going to work out. I think we're going to make a higher low when it's all said and done.
But does corn start with 3 for the foreseeable future?
I don't believe so. I really believe we have to do like we just did with wheat. You have to get the farmer who hasn't sold to sell and move the grain and create the pressure, blow out the basis, all those things that they're going to do. But once that's been done and we lock up the corn in the bins. Remember, Russia, Ukraine down probably 20% year over year, and Brazil corn crop down 15% year over year. Nobody else has a good corn crop. We have a lot to sell. So like wheat, I think we're going to be able to sell a lot of wheat to those that need it.
On the new crop side of things with corn, you were in Indiana. You said things look good. I was in Missouri. I've been in lots of parts of Iowa, Illinois. Things look really good. What's that tell you? Again, we slipped below that 4 this week.
I mean, it's just a question of what is going to be the price that clears the inventory, right? The floor price. I'm thinking 185 plus or minus a bushel is where we're going to eventually wind up with the USDA. If you run those numbers with maybe some lower harvested acres, a little better demand, and maybe some lower old crop, I don't think we get past 2.3 billion bushel carryout for corn for next year. Stocks to usage of around 15% is similar to past oversupplies. I just don't think that we need to do too much more to the downside to clear the inventory.
Is that the same story in soybeans for you?
Soybeans, unfortunately, is different. Even though Brazil had lower yields and a lower crop, they planted so many more acres that their production was not off that much. They also carried more soybeans into this year than we thought they had. So I can't say that I'm excited about what I see for demand for soybeans going forward. The catalyst that I see potentially is there's talk that we might ban imports of palm oil from China that has been taking a lot of demand away from bean oil. And if that were to get triggered here later in the year, that could create a windfall of demand for bean oil and get those bean crushers higher. I think that's one of the big catalysts fundamentally beyond Brazil weather that we might need to look at because I don't think export demand is going to be it.
On new crop, Arlen Suderman of StoneX tweeted this week that kind of caught my attention. He said, don't focus on the 15% of the crop that's bad. Look at the 85% that's good. He's meaning more corn, but the same can be said about beans. Like I said, lots of good beans. New crop side, what are we going to do with all these beans?
You know, my feeling is that soybeans are going to need to get direction from corn and wheat. That's the fundamentally bullish story outside the U.S. I think you need to get corn and wheat going on a demand-driven move higher, and it will drag soybeans up begrudgingly. The good news for soybeans is that Brazil currently has subsoil moisture in the lowest 2 percentile since 1950. If rains do not materialize during the planting season, their acres are going to be down, and their development's going to be way off. That could be a weather catalyst. I know that's not, you always want to hear, oh, we've got to wait for weather, but it could be a real legitimate weather catalyst for soybeans as we get later on in the year. Right now, La Nina does not look like it's going to form. It's going to stay neutral, and that's bullish for drier weather in key Brazil soybean areas.
We do have a weather question we'll get to in Market Plus that's similar to that, but let's go to the demand side of the ledger that you talked about in wheat and in corn. In beans, does China come through if it's dry in South America? Do you get the sense they're going to be interested in American beans?
If we really get a serious supply problem, I mean, we've never seen subsoil moisture in Brazil like this before. I mean, think about starting March in the United States with the lowest 2 percentile moisture. If we really, really get to where that crop could be way, way off, they're going to come and buy soybeans in the United States in a major way. We have to get there first. The other thing that I think is very important is they started printing a lot of money in late July. If you look at a correlation between commodities and money printing in China, there's like an 85% correlation between the two, and it typically impacts those markets they import the most. Wouldn't surprise me that if they keep printing money the way they are, and it looks like they're going to, we could see better demand for things like crude oil, things like cotton, things like soybeans, things they need a lot of. We might find that they buy a lot more from us.
Is that part of the reason cotton had a run up this week?
That plus the flooding in the southeast was really devastating for some of the cotton areas down there. Certainly, that combination of both of those, I think, is what drove cotton. And I think cotton, you know, is going to see more of that kind of flooding the further on we get into the hurricane season.
Live cattle anymore is tied to economy overall. And Friday into Monday, Tuesday, we really took a bath here in live cattle. Is there a sense that they still are tied together? And with a rally in the stock market at the end of the week, that is going to be the savior?
Well, we had a big rally today. And I think this was, you know, kind of the market's a little relieved. But anytime the cattle market looks and sees the stock market crashing and sees economic numbers crashing for consumers, it's, you know, that's going to trip the switch. It did trip the switch. The speculators sold heavily. However, we did not break through important technical support, and we did bounce this week on a Friday close. I don't think that the cattle market's going to get out of hand unless things unravel much, much more than they already have.
And feeders have been always kind of more tied to the S&P. Does that trend still hold in these recent developments?
No question that that trend's going to hold. And we're going to be tied to monetary policy. The Fed has the Jackson Hole meeting is coming up here on August 22nd, where all the smartest financial guys in the world get together and tell you how they're going to save the world. And then we got the Fed meeting in September, where supposedly they're going to start cutting rates. Very, very important metrics for something like the feeder cattle market that's waiting for that.
But the markets, just like in commodities, there's always this, it's baked in because they expect it. Are we already, is some of this trade turning because we expect a rate cut?
Well, we've been expecting a rate cut all year long, and it hasn't happened.
But so not like now.
Not like now. Yeah, I mean, now I think the market really believes strongly that it's going to happen. The question is it one and done, or is this going to be a methodical process of continuing to do so? I believe they're going to be much more accommodative on monetary policy, especially going into the elections. I think they're listening to what Trump is saying about wanting to control the Fed, and I think they might want to do everything they can to make sure things don't fall apart heading into the elections, if that has any sway on how people vote.
Hog market. I was at a hog show today. There were some smiles, but there were also some concerns. Which should they be thinking more of right now?
The hog market's a little different for me. We know we have cheap pork cutout prices. We know people don't want to eat pork. It doesn't as flavorful as it was before. Having said that, I really believe if we're going to get rid of the oversupply in the marketplace, China's pork price is at a one-year high. Their hog price is at a one-year high. We're seeing indications that their pork supply is going to get very, very tight. And we've seen a couple of export numbers here in the last month that showed some bigger numbers. I think that's going to be the story that eventually takes the hog market off the doldrums and takes it higher. Without that, it's really, really tough sledding because we can only sell so much to Mexico. And we just have too much domestic demand that we currently have.
I'll have another pork chop on a stick if that helps. I'll take one for the team. Thank you, Sean. Good to see you.
Good, Paul.
All right, appreciate it. We are going to pause this analysis, continue our discussion about these markets in our Market Plus segment. You can find both analysis and plus on our website of markettomarket.org. We are getting ready to kick off our 50th season later this month. As part of that celebration, we are taking the MTOM podcast on the road. On August 12 and August 15, you can find us at the Iowa State Fair in Des Moines, Iowa. Check out our Facebook page for more information. Next week, we'll take a look at new regulations that shorten the path for the genetically edited seeds. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great week.